Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, do you all still have your bulletin open to page 8? That would be a no. Go ahead and open up to that. For today's message, I'm actually going to keep it relatively simple. We're just going to take a look at that reading, and we're going to break it down word by word, and now you're all so excited. Thank you, Pastor Chris. That's exactly what I was hoping we'd do the week after Easter. The week after Easter Sunday, I was hoping we'd come in and you would just break down the reading for us and make it nice and academic. Do you know what the name, the short name is for today's reading? The Great Commission. The last few verses in particular, verses 19 through 20 in particular, are often referred to as the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So you know what's special about this? I mean, there's a lot of things special about this. This is the ending of the Gospel of Matthew, right? This is the very end of Matthew. This is the end of the story for Matthew. Matthew, Luke, and John all end it in a different way. Excuse me. Mark, Luke, and John all end their Gospels in a way differently than Matthew does. Matthew's is unique. He's the only one who has this right at the end. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's go through it. We'll do it quick and dirty. I don't even have my whiteboard with me. Those of you who go to the adult forums and Bible studies know that I function best when I have a whiteboard to draw on. I don't right now. That's okay. Let's start with the first word, go. What does that mean? It means go. He doesn't say sit tight. Sit tight, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Lock yourselves in your upper rooms, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's impossible. It's true. Go. He starts off by saying, go. Remember, this is the very start of all of it. At this point, what we would call Christianity is this tiny little group of folks hanging out in ancient Palestine. That's it. It's a tiny little group. And if they just sit on their duffs, it ain't going to get any bigger than that. Go, he says. Go outside of your comfort zones. Go outside of your homes. Go outside of where you gather. Go, therefore, and do what?
Spread the word.
Make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Make. What does make mean? It means to build something, right? It means it takes time. It means it takes effort. It means it doesn't happen like that. He doesn't say, go therefore and instantly convert and save the heathen. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Make. It's going to take effort. It's going to take relationship. It's going to take commitment. Go therefore and make disciples. What's a disciple? It's a student. A disciple is literally someone who follows the teachings of another, who takes those teachings into their heart and then spreads those teachings to others. That's what it is to be a disciple. Go therefore and make disciples. He doesn't say go therefore and make passive people. He doesn't say go therefore and win souls for me. Because he's Jesus, so he wouldn't say win souls for Jesus, because that would be redundant. Go therefore and make disciples, which by definition means go therefore and make people who will engage in what I have said, who will be challenged by it, who will wrestle with it, who will bring it into their hearts and who will live it out, and who will be so moved by it that they want to share it with other people. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What? We take this so for granted today, which makes sense. We probably, I don't want to say should, but it makes sense that we do. What do all of his first disciples have in common? They're all first century Palestinian Jewish men. You notice that? Which makes sense. But he doesn't say, go therefore and make disciples of all first century Palestinian men. Of all nations. This is big tent theology. This is not a tiny little group. This is not going to be a tiny little cult. This is going to be something that changes the world. Go outside of your comfort zone. Make disciples. It's going to take time. Make students of who? All nations. Even those you don't like. Even those who scare you. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Do you know how often we talk about baptism in the Bible? Let me rephrase that. You know how often we talk about baptism in the Gospels? Not much. You've got the baptism of Christ, which shows up in all four Gospels. So you've got four references there. You've got this. That might be it. For the Gospels. Baptism doesn't show up that much in the story of Jesus. You see it in some of the letters. They talk about it in Ephesians, they talk about it in Romans, things like that. But in the actual story of Jesus, it doesn't come up much, except Matthew wants to make sure that we hear this at the very end of his version of the Gospel. Baptizing them. That it's not just enough to tell them this word, they need to be a part of the community. They need to be washed clean, made anew. And baptizing them in what? It's right in front of you. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we do that. On the simplest level possible. When we've done baptisms here, that's why you've always heard it done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That line, right there. There are some churches that will just baptize in the name of Christ. I'm sure there were some that will just baptize in the name of the Spirit. I'm sure there were some that will just baptize in the name of the Father. I don't know of them, but I'm doing the math. There's like 7-8 billion people on the planet. There's got to be one or two that do that. But we're told that there's some sort of Trinity, some sort of Trinitarian view of God, some sort of understanding of God that is inherently about community. That's the crazy thing about the idea of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this idea that God is somehow inherently about community, about relationship, about connection. You ever think about that? That's unique. That's special. At its heart, that's one of the things that really stands out in Christianity. And teaching them to do what? To obey everything I have commanded you. Do you know how many things Jesus commands the disciples to do in the Gospel of Matthew? Not a lot. He commands them to keep silent until after the resurrection. And there's one other time he references commandment. And you know when that is? It's when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, a second is similar, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's it. You look through the Gospel of Matthew, that's what you see for commandments. That's what you see for commandments from Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's it. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's important. Because think about it. To the disciples, he's about to leave again. They've just lost him, and now they've just gotten him back. And yet he assures them that it's not over. That he is still with them. Whatever happens, wherever they go, he is still with them. Look in that little section of reading you've got there. Look at verse 19. Repeat it with me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Right there in two verses, you have quite possibly the simplest form of expressing what it means for us to be church together. If you're ever at a loss as to what it means for us to be together, what the point is, why we come together, look at those two verses. Let us pray. We ask you, O holy and gracious God, to keep us mindful of your love and your presence. We ask you to bless us this day and always. We pray all of these things knowing that you are truly God and you are truly with us in all places. In your most holy, good, and gracious name we pray. Amen.